I'm going to talk about that again. And Mel?
Yes. So we are planning a trip next Saturday up to, we're going to go to the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
Yes.
Spend a little time at, not Magic Waters anymore, I don't know what it's called. Magic Waters. We have 8 youth signed up, and so I'm super excited about that. And we are just looking for a couple drivers. So if you are interested, 1, 2. So if you're interested in kind of chaperoning or being on that experience with us, please let me know after worship and we will get it all set up. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And today, this morning, Katie will lead us in our worship. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Please stand as you're able and join me in our opening prayer. Spirit of Pentecost, blow open the doors of our hearts and set our tongues free to proclaim your grace. Bestow your gifts on all people and blow into our lives and renew us as a people of faith, that we may find the strength and courage to be the people you call us to be. Amen. Our opening hymn is How Firm a Foundation.
Harper's birthday, and Tuesday, Jinmo, happy birthday. Yes. And Nancy, and Marion, and Mallory, Wednesday, and Fred, please say happy birthday. Oh, yes. And Rita, happy birthday. Yeah. And we... Oh! Okay, we just heard about a family crisis. Okay, we have a few people that I want to lift up. Marion's birthday is coming. I think it's 93. Yeah, she's going to be 93. And now she has a pneumonia. She needs our double prayers. So please remember her in your prayers. And please continue to have Debbie Kramer's father, Reverend Normal Parson. He has great memory and sharp mind and brilliant guy, but now he's declining, so please remember him in your prayers. And last week we forgot to mention about that, but Ken Newland, lately lost his sister, so please remember Ken's family in your prayers. And I wanna ask you, what joy and prayer request? Yes.
My son Tanner, who is my youngest one, and his wife had their first baby on Thursday.
Yes. Is it boy or girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Her name is Ren Canuda.
Wow. Yeah, princess. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
As far as I know, the only
you so much for sharing. Please remember the family in your prayers.
One of my best friends had surgery a couple weeks ago, and she is stubbornly trying to heal very fast with three kids.
Oh.
And so just prayers for her for continued healing and patience, because it's a process. Mm-hmm. And I know she's struggling with that.
If you don't mind, would you please?
Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah. Yep.
Please remember her in your prayer, Sarah.
Our daughter Corinne and her husband Corbin and our grandson Barrett, they're on their way home from Texas, so safe travels for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, Dala.
Another prayer for my niece Nancy. She has COVID.
Oh.
And she has breathing problems, so it's going to be tough for her.
Okay, thank you. Her name is Nancy.
Nancy.
Please remember her in your prayers. And Rory, would you please talk about your friend, Joe?
Yeah, prayers for my friend Joe, lives in southern Indiana. He and his family were up here this week, but Joe's got a lot of health issues. And before he came up last week, he had some blood work done, and he got the results of his liver and thyroid number were off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
He's having just a lot of body pain. Prayers. He's going to the doctor again this week for more tests.
Thank you.
Prayers for favorable diagnosis and prognosis.
I see. Please remember Joe in your prayers. You see? Yes.
Prayers for my daughter-in-law's family. Well, Joy. They're all traveling to Missouri this week to celebrate her parents. I think it's a 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that. But prayers for everybody traveling. She's
mm-hmm.
her brother and his wife are coming from Texas. My son and his wife are traveling from here, so
mm-hmm.
lots of prayers for safe travel and a wonderful time where they're going.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. You see, especially at the 8 a.m. service, I believe it is really, really important moment we share our life, joys and concerns and prayer requests. It means a lot. And we have one another in our prayers. And I have really sad joys and concerns. I'm so happy for him, but I'm really, yeah, sad. Yeah, Isaac, he has been amazing guy, brilliant tech person for us. It's gonna be his last Sunday. He will leave tomorrow. He's gonna be a National Guard. I'm gonna miss his shouting, so let's do this. Isaac, God loves you, there is
nothing you can do about it.
Amen. We will have a moment of prayer for him at the end of the service together. And please continue to have Ken Newland, Don Watkins, and Kelvin Jacobs in your prayers. And also people in Ukraine as well. Let's turn to God and pray. And you have the prayer, responsive prayer, in your bulletin. And let's pray. Loving God, fill the world with your grace so that all the people may see you, feel your presence, and respond your call. As we pray, sing praises to God's name. God bless your church through the word, gracious one, that she may devote herself to prayer and be your witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Sing praises to God's name.
Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth, be glad and rejoice, that God may finish the work that Christ began to bring peace and unity to the world.
Sing praises to God's name.
Father of orphans, defender of widows, look with compassion upon all the people of the world. With your great power, restore, support, strengthen, and establish them.
Sing praises.
Let your name dwell with us in our community, O God, to refresh our land, bless our homes, and make provision for the poor, that we may be one as you are one.
Sing praises to God's name.
Lord, hear our prayers for those whom we care, and for those who are sick, for those who have difficulties in many ways, and for those who need you more and more in this moment. We remember each one of them, Lord, and you know their needs. Gracious God, fill the whole creation with your Spirit and send your power from on above, and glorify the earth with your presence, that we may be one as you and the Son are one in the strength of your Spirit. Lord, be with us and help us be with you as we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Verses 1, 4, and 18, and chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. And the waters swelled on the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. So Noah went out with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as you may come out of the ark. Establish my covenant with you, that never again shall flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Sorry, I'm still coughing sometimes. But anyway, we have been talking about Noah and his ark. You probably have learned this story from your Sunday school. Even if you didn't go to church when you were little, you learned that, right? Because it's a part of our culture. And what you might have heard and learned was a fun and beautiful and cute children's message. Saved Noah and his family and all kinds of animals, and you might have questioned, what about dinosaur? Right? Did he have dinosaur in his ark? How cool is that? Right? I think that's just the time for children's story. But the real story is a very grown-up story. We have discovered for the last 2 weeks that in Genesis 6, God looked at the earth and God was grieved. God was so grieved that God had made a human being. God didn't destroy the earth because God was upset. Some other culture or religion talk about God was so irritated and angry and upset about human beings, but in the Bible we don't find it. Instead, God was grieved and God wanted to fix it. God wanted to clean the creation for the future because God was grieved. And God saw people's thought, action, and their heart were only about themselves. It is about me. My. And they had no imagination about how they might take care of other people and the creation. Because of that, people hurt others and use the people around them for themselves with violence and oppression. So the Bible says God was grieved. Then God found a person, Noah, who was righteous and blameless and who walked with God. To be righteous means he always tried to do the right things in every situation. That means he always thought about God every day. Asking God, God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't mean perfection at all. And I told you about blameless. Blameless in Hebrew, that is tamim. It has nothing to do with perfection. Yes, slightly, a little bit about that, but tamim, blameless, it means integrity. When it talks about walking with God, it means being mindful of God always. So when you talk about Noah, listening to God, he always focused. He always asked, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So Noah was obedient to God. And Noah was a type of what you might be like. So we are called to become righteous and blameless. And we are called to walk with God and listen to God. So we know God sent the flood, great one, a lot of waters on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights of rain. It was flooded everywhere, water, and no one could find a place to step on. And then the ark drifted on the earth for 150 days. And we talked about the early Christians 2,000 years ago. They saw the church as the ark, the instrument of God's salvation. Make next slide. So you and I, right? You see the ceiling of our church. It is like boat upside down because they thought and they saw the church as the ark, instrument of God's salvation. So you and I, we are the church and we are the instrument of God's salvation, not only for ourselves, but also for the people around us and God's creation. And that story is what we are talking about. And this story is all about us, who we are, and who we are meant to be. So now I want us to think about what it feels like to be and stay in the ark for 150 days. We know that Noah's ark was huge. It was bigger than a football playground, huge. But it couldn't have enough space for Noah's family and all kinds of animals. Just imagine it. Donkey, horses, lion, elephant, and some dinosaurs, and some others. And there were some cats running here and there, trying to eat mice, and lions trying to eat that cat here and there. It looks like a cartoon, right? Tom and Jerry. I love that. And a snake was sneaking by your feet or between your feet. Maybe you scream. Yeah! But a few days later, you feel like you get used to it, and then you just grab the snake and throw that. Don't bother me. Maybe a few days might be okay. But what about 150 days? What about the smell? The ark must have been like a minefield. You know what I mean? All kinds of animals. They have to do number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number two, again and again and again and again. Where? Inside the ark. Noah's family and all the animals must have been under great stress in that ark. And we know that feeling. A little bit about that. We know the stress, right? During the pandemic, so many places were shut down and you had to stay inside the house many days. There were so many restrictions and regulations and limitations. We know that. The stress became a social issue and the hate crime rate surged around the country and the world. But I bet the life environment and quality of life for the Noah's family must have been much worse than what we experienced. That's the real story of Noah's Ark. And what's interesting is, in that terrible situation, it seems like God was quiet. God was silent. It seemed, during that time, the period, God was even absent, non-existent. The last time God spoke to Noah was before the flood. But for 5 months during the flood, we don't find any writing about Noah and his family have heard anything from God. Let's think about Noah. He knew the flood would be coming. He might have thought maybe a few days, maybe 5 days, maybe a week, but 10 days, 20, 30, and 40 days of waiting? I think Noah probably have said, God, isn't it enough? Enough! I see nothing outside. Everything is gone. And can't you hear Noah's wife? Yes! He probably asked him, she probably have asked him so many times, Noah, so when is that? What did God say? Come on, tell me. Isn't it enough? We have so many, rain, water. I think it's enough. When? Almost every day. 10 times a day, 100 times a day. Now we see a family crisis. I bet Noah began to think after a while, God, are you there? Are you still there, or have you forsaken me? But keep in mind that the flood now it is a metaphor for us, what kind of storms we walk through in our lives. So we go through a challenging and complicated time, and we begin to wonder, is there a God? God, are you there? Or have you forsaken me? How can I make it through? Which is the very things the family in the ark must have been thinking about. Let me ask you, when was the flood in your life? When was it so dark and frightening, and God seemed silent, and you couldn't figure out how you would make it through? And when was it you felt like Noah? God, are you there? Do something. Are you still with me? We all have gone through a kind of storm or flood that happened in our lives. And that's the moment when God seems absent inside us. And we can't figure out when it's gonna stop and how I'm going to make it through. So part of what I love about the Bible, especially the Psalm, it is God allows psalmists to express their feeling, their emotion, and Psalm capture all those feelings. And you find Psalm 13, verse 1, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Where are you? How long will you hide your face from me?" And there is an entire book in the Old Testament, the Book of Lamentation, which has complaints against God when terrible things happened. When people were wondering, where is God? What are you doing? Where are you? Why are you not speaking now? But I think while we find ourselves in the Bible, we find a very important message over there. At the end, the psalmist always find a way back to God and say, God, despite the flood, despite the storm, I trust in you. And they invite us, you and me, to continue to trust in God. Why? In Genesis chapter 8, after 150 days of flooding, God remembered Noah. Interesting. The Bible says God remembered Noah, his family, and all kinds of animals in the ark. God remembered them. What does that mean? Interesting. Had God forgotten Noah for a few days? And now, all of a sudden, it is like you are cooking, and you put then your meal or your stew on your top, countertop, and you forgot about that. And when you smell that, oh, I was cooking. Did it happen? It is not like the boat out there on the sea and nothing else is on the planet and God doesn't care. It is not like that. Maybe that is what we might have felt. But God never forgets. God never forgets, no matter what you're walking through and no matter when you doubt and forget about God. When we read God remembers in the Bible, that means God is turning toward acting. It means the deliverance is on its way. So when Abraham was in trouble, God remembered Abraham and God began action to deliver him. And in the scripture, when Israelites were crying out for 400 years, it says God remembered them. That means God began action to deliver them. When God remembers somebody in the Bible, that says that's the moment the things begin to turn to the right direction, and God does not forget you. God remembers you, and God remembers each one of us, and we need to revisit this story. The story we think about, the story we think we know and hear a lot, that story still has so many messages to tell us more. In this story, it says, at the end of 150 days, the water had elevated, and the water began to subside. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to abate until the 10th month, and in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains appeared. It looks like it's happening. It took two more months. The water subsided, and they could see the dry land, and the animals left off the ark. I read this story so many times, and in my mind, I always registered only 150 days. I don't usually think about the rest of the time in the ark, but they were there, stuck in the ark for seven more months. And I want to think about that again. I told you some kind of animal dynamic inside. If you have a cat or cats, and if you don't change their kitty litter, maybe for 3 days, how about a week? It's gonna sting, right? I see some of you smiling. It was 12 months. They were inside. You love your children, right? You love to see them and you love to spend some time with them. Can I tell you? What if you spend a month vacation with them inside of your house? What's gonna happen? You know, my mom told me a couple of times, not just one or twice, a few times technically, she said, "Paul, I love you. I love you so much. When you come to see me, I'm really extremely happy. When you know what? When you leave, I'm happier." I usually stay there for 3 days, but my mom says, "I'm so happy you're leaving now." For 12 months, they were stuck in the ark. And God has not spoken to no one for 12 months. So the flood had happened and the water was still there, and it seemed God had been silent for 12 months. From the moment God remembered until the ark was empty of animals and people, it was 7 months. And we call this time the time in between. The deliverance starts to happen, and we all have this time until the water subsided. And in our own lives, this happens. When I pray to God, I'm not the patient. I'm not the patient, to be honest with you. I want God to respond to my prayer right now. I want it to be fixed today. I want the problem solved right now. Yeah, I see some of you smiling. Thank God, I'm not the only one. Sometimes it could work, right away. It could work that way, but usually God doesn't work that way most of the time. In the middle of the time, in between, we remember God. Still remembers Noah. Noah still trusts in God. We need to remember that. Noah trusted in God. and we trust in God. Remember, God remembers you, just like God remembered Noah. And it was not Noah who made a covenant, asking for God to make a covenant with him. It was God who made the covenant with Noah. And God made a covenant with you. And we trust in God, just like Noah trusting God. In between time. Even in between time. Amen.